News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Evershed Sutherland, Ireland's largest and most established global law firm, with full service teams for your legal and tax solutions.
I'm delighted to welcome Declan Bulger. He's the CEO of the Irish Life Group, to the Executive Chair. Declan, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, William Bobby. Thanks for having me.
Now, I want to bring you back to Curraghclough in the lovely county Wexford, where you grew up. I think your first job was as an actuarial student in an insurance company. But tell us about your early days, your family background.
Sure, yeah, No, I grew up in Curraghclough in Wexford, so I had Ireland's nicest beach at my doorstep, which was lovely.
Yeah, so beautiful place.
Grew up in a lovely family and played lots and lots of sport as a kid. And I went to school in Wexford, and Wexford CBS primary.
St. Peter's.
And Peter's then for secondary school, yeah.
Were you a hurler?
I was a hurler and a footballer. I was probably one of that lesser known species, the Wexford footballer. But I did a bit of both and a bit of rugby. Be in tennis as well.
Good man.
Peter's a great place to go to school.
Yeah, so sport was very important in the early days.
Sport was hugely important. Yeah. It was part of a couple of big teams, and even still to this day, I still struggle out to play a bit of soccer and get up on the bike, so sport's a big part of my life.
Now, you were always a kind of a maths man, and I think you were particularly interested in maths at school. You did applied maths, so you kind of did. Was there a leaning maybe that you'd end up somewhere where a mathematical mind would be an asset?
I think it was kind of maths, physics, that type of stuff. My dad was the physics teacher, so I was always inclined that way. But also, like, I really like people, and from playing sports, I love being involved in teams and working with people. So I was looking for something that was where I could use maths and problem solving, but more in a kind of a practical and a people-based way. So that kind of led me down the financial services route.
Right. Tell us a little bit about your career there. As I said, you started off as a student in an insurance company. What was the progression from there?
Yeah, sure. So I started off as a 17-year-old actuarial student in Bank of Ireland Lifetime. So that was a great experience. So I was actually studying at night through the Institute of Actuaries and then working by day. After a couple of years, I took a break and went travelling for a while with my buddies who were finishing up in college and then came back and I joined Canada Life. So I had a real, I suppose, bit of good fortune in Canada Life that at the time, shortly after I joined, Canada Life were setting up a new company in Germany, Canada Life Europe. So I got involved in really the startup team of that, which was just a massive experience. One of the first five employees there. And we started from scratch and built a company that's now supporting about 600,000 Germans to save for their pensions.
And tell us about Canada Life. You became the CEO of that, of the European operation in 2009. This is a big beast. This is not a small company.
Yeah, no, Canada Life Europe was. Now, I suppose I was involved from the start, yeah. So I kind of knew my way around it and that as well, and had a really good team. But it was a great opportunity just at that young age to get the experience of being a CEO and also just to get that cross-cultural experience to be involved in a company that had half for employees in Ireland and half in Germany.
And there's a relationship with Canada Life and Irish Life.
They're sister companies.
Right.
So Great West Life, which really trades as Canada Life globally, acquired Irish Life just over 10 years ago. So Irish Life and Canada Life are sister companies.
Okay.
So part of the Canada Life group.
So how long did you spend out in Germany?
Well, actually, I was based in Ireland because just the way the regulation works, the CEO is in Ireland. But I'm involved in that business for nearly 20 years and would have spent a lot of time over in Cologne and Frankfurt particularly.
Right.
So over there every second week and then would have spent stints kind of living there as well. But no, great experience.
And you moved then from Canada Life to, I suppose, as you say, a sister company, but you're the CEO of Irish Life since 2020. Interesting the way that business has sort of changed over the years. Again, traditionally would have been associated with things like pensions and that, but it's so much more now. Tell us about...
It's much broader. So, like, we're probably known as the market leader in life and pensions, and we still would be there, but it's kind of expanded as well. So from a customer point of view, like, we've 1.6 million customers in Ireland.
Wow.
So that's really, one in every two workers in Ireland is a customer of Irish Life.
Yeah.
And then on the corporate side, like, a stat we use is of the 30 biggest multinationals in Ireland, the 28 of those are actually customers of Irish Life. So a very broad range of products now as well. So I said, still market leader in life and pensions. We have a big health insurance business now as well.
Yeah, and again, that was, when did that actually start?
Yeah, that's about 8 or 9 years old at this stage, yeah. Yeah, so since it's something that our Canadian parent would have invested in. So the health insurance business now, which is, up over 20% market share, we're actually just opened even Irish Life Health Clinics in three locations across the country.
I saw that.
So as well. And then we'd have a big investment management business. And even the health is expanding further. Like, it's really, we have a well-being company now. So like, health insurance was traditionally all about paying the claims when something big happened. But now we're very much in the case of keeping people healthy and preventing people getting ill.
And I suppose that makes sense at a high level, that if you can make employees healthy that are also going to be potentially availing of, you know, sick pay or compensation out of being unwell,
it's
making an investment for positive health is a good thing.
It's a good strategy. It's absolutely win-win. It's really good for the health scheme members. It's really good for the employer. And then it's good for us as well.
Yeah. Can I ask you, Declan, about the role of the broker, which always would have been traditionally important in a business such as your own, selling on pensions, selling on different insurance products. Where is that now? Is how much of the business is done through brokers? How much of it do you handle corporately?
Oh, yeah. So it's still really, really important. So the brokers, particularly on individual business. So individual business in Ireland, that's still about 75 to 80% of individual business is done through brokers. And then you'd also have business done through direct financial advisors for Irish Life and also through banks. And then when you look at the corporate side, it's probably a bit more split, that we deal with a lot of corporates directly, and then also some of that business is brokered.
Right.
On the individual side, you know, financial advisors still play a really big role.
Right.
It's interesting, actually, Bobby, in Ireland, that, like, you know, a bit of wealth has developed in Ireland over the last 10, 15 years. But what hasn't really developed is people managing that wealth. So, like, the role of the financial advisor is absolutely crucial. In Ireland, there's probably only about 1 in 5, 1 in 6 people have ever spoken to a financial advisor.
Is that right?
It is, and there's still an awful lot, more than 50% of kind of investable money is still sitting in bank accounts. So there's a real role for financial advisors here to play to help people, you know, plan for the future financially.
It's hard to argue, though, with the philosophy, and I know you'll argue against it, and probably rightly so, but somebody who's worked hard all their lives and put a few quid away is terrified about losing that. And is that one of the reasons why there might be so much money on bad deposit accounts that are paying no return? Because they just want to know where it is and be able to get to it if they need it.
Yeah, it's probably a factor. And I think it's not just people are so busy as well, that maybe just to engage in the process. But like, it isn't the safest thing to do to leave your money on account. We've all heard about inflation over the last couple of years. And to be honest as well, Bobby, like, what we do and what everybody does in the industry is we design a portfolio for you which reflects your attitude to risk.
Yeah.
So if you have, and it also really, the starting point is to kind of plan out your future. What do you want to do with your retirement years? What do you want to do in terms of providing for your kids to go to university? Build a plan around that. And then the financial advisor will talk to you about what is your appetite for risk? What's your experience? And we can then put you in a plan that reflects that and can be say as safe or as risky as you want.
And is it traditional or is it, I suppose, probable that as we get older, our appetite for risk diminishes?
Yeah, I think what happens is that let's say you're 30, 40 years for retirement, generally what happens is over the long term, you know, markets go up, but they do go up and down.
Yeah.
So as you're close to retirement, you probably don't want to take that risk that the market is going to crash the day before you retire. So what generally people do is they start off far from retirement, you know, in a more, let's say, adventurous portfolio. And then as they get closer to retirement, you know, that narrows down to be more secure. But things have changed a little bit. There is a product called, an ARF. So what that does, and this is if you have a little bit of a extra cash at retirement and you can afford the ups and downs, you can stay invested.
You can.
Because what happened now, like, we're living now to, like, life expectancy at the moment is, I think it's like 84 for women, 81 for men. So if you're turning 65, like, there's still a good bit of time of which you can, you know, take some of that investment risk.
Yeah. Now, tomorrow's a big day, Dublin City Marathon, big event. Irish Life are the sponsors.
Oh, it's a great event for us. So, like, the streets of Dublin are painted the Irish Life purple. So for us, like, really, well-being is a huge part of what we do. So I suppose we took the decision, we're not the jersey sponsor of any elite sporting team. So it's really kind of mass participation and get as many people up and active as possible. So the marathon is a brilliant one for that. So we've got, tomorrow there'll be over 20,000 people
Wow.
running it. There's a whole race series over the summer. So there'll be another 15,000 or so people there. did the half marathon, the 10 mile, the 5 mile, and about 350,000 people on the street supporting it. So yeah. Just, it's like, you know, our day job is all about financial, physical and mental well-being, and this is just lovely extension of into that again.
Your wife is doing it, my son-in-law is doing it. It is a real cross-section of just so many different people participating and all training hard to get ready for
all
it.
All training hard. It's lovely to see. I live over kind of Marina Clontarf, and you see the Irish Life training tops going up and down the coast.
Good.
It's a nice one. But it is, and like we have to finish, I'm at the finish line for the day, and there's as much joy in the person coming over the line to win it in 2 hours, 10 or 12, and the person coming over in 6 hours, hours later.
Well, look, great to chat to you. Declan Bulger, CEO of Irish Life Group. Best of luck to everybody running the marathon tomorrow, and well done for sponsoring it. It's a great event.
Thanks, William, Bobby, and good luck tomorrow, great. Everybody.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.